and you sell people to this guy who just has like a murder factory behind him. And welcome to the Lore Boys, now with guns. My name is James Miller. I'm rooting tooting over here. Who else is here?
I brought a water gun. I'm Ethan, but filled with mayonnaise. But I've watered down the mayonnaise, so it squirts better.
I was going to say, it would be very like...
It would just like curl out the tip like a garlic press, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or like a tube of mayonnaise.
Yeah, or like some kind of gun you had mayonnaise in.
They have a mayo gun at McDonald's when I used to work there. It's like every trigger pull is exactly one serving of mayo. So you put one, or if you want just one, or just one after.
Have a little gear switch in there that has like the calorie settings on it, like, and it just like cuts out.
I worked in the kitchen.
Six shooter.
I worked in the cash first. I would only do the kitchen late at night when people are on break. So I don't know.
Gonna play Russian roulette.
Yeah,
with
you put in
McDonald's
five ketchups,
mayo gun.
Five ketchups and one mayo, and spin the chamber.
Wow.
Peter O'Donohue. As to the best of my knowledge, my gun from the 40s is broken.
Perfect. Well, first of all, let's say thanks to our newest patron, Gemstone.
Thanks, Gemstone.
And you're also. Righteous. Avalon from upping from buck a boy to 3 for 3. So
thank you. Thanks. Welcome to democracy, Avalon. You made it.
So today's topic was requested by no one, but I know what you need best. So shut up and eat your Pokemon or you don't get your guns.
How can you have any Pokemon if you don't eat your guns? So what Roger Waters meant when he wrote The Wall.
Yeah. This game came out in early access, I believe on Friday. So this is, and we're recording on Sunday evening. So this is like pretty hot off the press, new game. It's called Pal World. I have a pretty solid understanding of it. I binged it first in my own single player world, and then I hopped in with a WoW friend in Texas, and we've been running the Texas servers for a while. And we're getting pretty far. So what do you guys know about Pal World so far? I'll give you the rundown. You don't need to know, but I'm just curious about it.
You said most of what I know, which is that it's Pokemon, but there's guns. You can butcher your Pokemon. You can eat them. And you can put other trainers and people in Pokeballs and then butcher and eat them.
Absolutely. As well as enslave them to work in your camp.
What?
Yeah. That's what I know. I don't know. I don't know how much more there is than that. So what I've seen is I first saw this game in the programmer with all the YouTube shorts, Thor or something, X-Blizzard. People know him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I saw he was like talking about something and this was like on underneath. And then I've seen a screenshot or two.
His dad is the
cinematic director for.
And he was the Warcraft guy in South Park. Apparently it was made after him.
That's what he said.
And apparently his dad was the one who recorded the Murloc noise.
It was his godfather that recorded.
Godfather. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the story.
Speaking of which, when people die in Pal World, very funny death sounds. I've loved all of them. There's a lot of of over the top gurgling and like stuff that it's comical. It's not sad when you kill someone. So Pete, yeah. What do you know?
I was confused as to whether this was the kind of heartfelt Pokemon ripoff in that Sea of Stars was a Chrono Trigger ripoff, or if it was the one with the guns. I could not remember, but it's on Game Pass. Yep. I just found out, and I grabbed a screenshot here. I don't know how long this thing is going to last. This thing I took a picture of is just Salamence from Pokemon Ruby. They didn't change it.
So a lot of the Pokemon
looks better than Scarlet Violet.
Yeah, it does. That. It's got anti-aliasing.
A lot of the Pokemon are close copies or like combinations.
What,
like
pals,
the cat Pokemon looks like Meowth and Jigglypuff put together. I'm going to share with you guys some of my Pokemon and stuff as we go. Okay. So we can talk about
it. Is there crossplay? Because if it's on Game Pass, I'll play it with you once and then forget it's installed, like I do with all multiplayer games.
I'm like, oh god, to start a new server just to quit again. But anyways, yeah.
Oh yeah, no, never mind. Never mind.
We can definitely do it. I think what would be best is we wait and we get the whole Dandy 3 in and we just start a fresh server and we see how we go. But
yeah, depending on how many people too, if there's Lore Boys listeners that are interested in it, we can
set up a dedicated server.
Oh, you can set up a dedicated wham.
But it is one of those things that there's progression and stuff, so it's kind of nice to start at the same time and kind of just play with other people, or else you get way ahead. Kind of like we did in like Terraria. At a certain point, Ethan had like the rarest sword ever combined with like 16 swords in the game.
The final sword, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just dying to fucking everything. So it's like one of those things that it's nice if you come up together, but it's not 100% necessary that you come up together.
Right.
So let me sum this game up.
This is a ground floor episode about Pal World because Jamie's in love with it and it's the SEO, right?
I did my own research, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And I went on Facebook and I read articles that were recommended to me. And I'm joking. I went in game and I took my own screenshots. I found my own lore books and I strung together my own storyline that is not findable on Google or on the
web. Hell yeah, dude. Let's go.
This is the forefront of Pal World lore. But if you've never seen it, you never played it, I'll explain to you exactly what it's like. So you start off, you're dropped into a world, and it's a 3D world. It looks like some of the 3D Pokemon games. It's probably run on the Unreal Engine. It's got that look to it, kind of like a little bit better Fortnite graphics kind of thing, rounder than Fortnite and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're dropped
in. Unreal is glossy, is a thing that I've noticed. The lighting's very shiny.
Yeah. You dropped in, and then you get the title of the place where you're at, Papalagos Islands, and it looks like a Zelda font, and it has almost like a Zelda jingle to it. Like, dude,
he's just trying to get sued by Nintendo.
Oh, dude! So they took the best
Nintendo speedrun.
Yeah, they took like the best of little things from a bunch of different games. Stamina and exploration, like Zelda, you can get yourself a glider. You have the bar when you climb the walls. Your combat, your dodge rolls, and all that stuff is all stamina bound. There's crafting and survival. So you start off with you make a workbench, which allows you to make tools, which allows you to get stone, which allows you to get a smelter, which allows you to melt oil, ore, which is, you can understand. It gets better and better.
There is like a survival craft.
Hungry.
Right?
Yeah, you have to craft. You have hunger. Your pets have hunger. You have to be warm enough. It can be too hot or too cold, which will affect your life.
This is like if fucking Chris Chan made a game. These are all just different kinds of Sonichu.
By the way, this
they're all like, I can recognize the Pokemon that they're trying to draw from memory for all these fucking things.
Is there like a Pal World like Pokemon DB that I can go and just like look at all the Pokemon?
I was hoping like that you wouldn't look. I want to get through at least my
explanation first.
Yeah. Because you guys will get in the weeds real quick with those. But
okay,
we can go look at the Pal World together. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So this game, yes, looks super meme-y. Everyone thought Pokemon with guns, that's dumb. It's going to be stupid. It's going to be funny for a day or something.
Pinocchio Dark Souls was also an insane like pairing of words, and that was great. So
this game fucking rules, man. It is so good. It is so... All I wanted to do was play more. I had a Dragon Ball Z episode written, and I scrapped it so I could play more as an excuse to be researching for the episode.
Jamie did say when we joined, he's like, yeah, I was doing my research till like 5 minutes ago, and then it kind of came out. He's like, yeah, well, I want to keep playing, see if I can uncover any more lore.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's great.
I got some good ones. So yeah, so we have crafting, survival, you have a hunger, you got to build stuff. There's base building, so you get to build your house. You get to like set up like your rock quarry, your lumber mill, your like things where you can put rock in this to get gems out the other side, and all the things that you'd see in like Minecraft, Terraria, any survival game. Ark is a really one is one that people tie to this a lot. I didn't actually play Ark, the dinosaur one.
Yeah, me either.
But they took a lot of the best things from Ark, like incubating eggs, having to keep the egg at the right temperature by putting fires closer or farther away, depending on
running
which
at
egg
11 FPS.
There. Yeah. I haven't had any problems with this, except
no,
for when
Ark
I
apparently runs badly is a notorious thing that I heard about. It's 560 gigs to install the game, and then it runs at 10 FPS on like on a NASA computer.
The only issues I've had connecting to a Texas guy's Starlink server is that when I use my hookshot, I move so quickly that it, like, I get 4 frames of me moving, flashing forward. But apparently he has the same issue too, and it is early access, so probably they gotta fix hookshots. But
I love how your buddy in Texas is like God's most based gamer. He's using Starlink to play his gun Pokemon game. With
he had no other option. He was raiding for like a year and a half out of his local church because they had the Wi-Fi. So he would every Sunday night he would
take communion.
He would stay late. But all the church people loved him because he was always there just helping out with stuff. So they're like, oh yeah, it's just Scar. He just plays games in the back office.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of organized religion, but the community aspect, I think, is a net positive. Yeah,
absolutely.
And if you're in southern Texas, too, there's a good chance you're probably your whole town's going every Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because they're pretty big there, I hear. Well, yeah. I hear everything's big there.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the things he's heard me said through Discord while he's in a church is very sinful. I'm sure.
Just like echoing off the walls.
Yeah. Oh no, the Discord chat got leaked to God.
Speaking of our next point on the gameplay list, slavery.
Okay. Cool.
So we have slavery. Once you catch your Pokemon, they all have different stats and things of things they're good at. So some can be good at logging, some can be good at mining, some are good at gathering berries, some are good at multiple things, and those are the really great ones to have. So as you upgrade your base, you have more slots for workers to assign. So like we're at like level 10 now, so we have 10 giant Pokemon running all over the place just keeping everything locked down, which is
that
awesome.
Is canon in Pokemon. There's like construction Pokemon, right? Like
right.
The
Machop.
I mean, the Machops and the Machokes, right? They build.
Yeah.
And like in Gen 1, there's like the one that's like in Vermillion.
Yeah, so we're Lieutenant Surge.
He's stomping the ground to like flatten it for a building.
Yeah, just past Diglett Cave and before the place where there's like a route where you find Farfetch D and there's a Snorlax all the way on the end.
You call him Farfetch D?
What would you call him?
Farfetch.
Well,
you said it. My brain broke. I was like, what Pokemon? Is there like a different variant of Farfetch'd?
You know what? I'm going to have to disagree with you. But there's Pokemon. If I haven't mentioned that, you can train, fight
they're
against.
Pals. Please. They're Nintendo's going to sue them out of existence if we don't help them out.
They are pals. You can fight them, catch them, eat them, work them to the bone. Whatever you want to do with them. You can chase them with a meat cleaver and chop them up and eat them. And feed them to your others if you want.
Speaking of Farfetch D, it is a duck and it is carrying a leak. I think, I can't remember the YouTuber's name. He did do like a cookbook of the most delicious Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that. I think it was that Polygon YouTube channel with the guy with the mustache. The same guy who read every Skyrim book.
Yes. Yeah, it is him. He's great.
He's one of those guys that has a middle name. You know, like the guy who shot JFK?
Yeah, Farfetch William D.
One of those guys is a middle name, you know that.
The guy who shot JFK.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah. D. No, it's Lee Harvey Oswald D.
Yeah, oh, sure. Right, yeah. So there's dungeons. You can just like find a cave and then go in it, and there's going to be like schematics at the end for stuff you can craft, one big Pokemon to fight, which is random. You can catch the Pokemon at the end of the dungeons.
So do you lasso it, or like is there a pal ball?
There's pal balls.
Okay, but
the Pokemon at the end of every dungeon, if you're familiar with the more recent Pokemons, I'm not, but luckily my Texas friend was, so he could explain it to me all while we were playing. But these are the alpha versions. It's like a bigger Pokemon.
All right.
That'll have different traits and stats.
Terastalize is like the latest. Maybe that's just in battle you do, I think. You terastalize your Pokemon.
Yeah. There's also shinies. And like all of this stuff is like dangerously close. Like even the symbol for shinies is like, if you just like took one little pencil eraser, it would be the Pokemon symbol for shinies. Like, there's a couple extra lines there, but
I don't know why you do this with Nintendo and their baby, their biggest money making franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
this is asking for it, man.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you don't expect your game to blow up, I guess, the way that it has, right? Like it's, we're talking about Power World, the weekend of launch of early access release.
And like the top 10 all time sold games on Steam.
Yeah, it's
this weekend early.
I mean, clearly people are hype about it. So I have to assume that they're going to get sued into oblivion.
So let's say
it's not going to be a game in 2 years.
It might be different enough. We'll see. They've done similar things where like
the thing about fucking with Nintendo, though, is they just draw you. They're going to draw you into a legal battle and like you're going to go bankrupt trying to defend yourself for 2 years, you know? Yeah. And like, so like whether or not you're right, like I think you should be able to create this game. Like, fuck off. Man, fuck off, Nintendo. You were never doing this with Pokemon. Let them do this with Pokemon, you know? Yeah. But
Nintendo tried to do the open world Pokemon thing and they did okay.
Let us meat cleaver them.
Yeah. There's dungeons. So like I said, you run through the dungeons, you can get valuable things at the end. You can get accessories like plus 10% damage or resistant to cold or all these fun little accessories you can put on. There's eggs to collect and incubate. So anytime you see a mountain, there's a good chance at the peak of that mountain, there's some type of egg up there. There's these little green things on statues. I'll show you a picture of later that you collect. And the more of those you collect, the more you increase your capturing power. So at first you collect one, and then you collect three, and then you collect seven, then you collect 11, and it makes you a higher percentage when you throw a pal ball to catch something.
So this like catching animals genre is not actually, I don't think, trademarkable, because Monster Hunter Stories is like a pseudo Pokemon game, and I played the demo for Monster Hunter Stories on Steam, where like you do go through a dungeon, and then you fight a Monster Hunter monster with your monsters, and then you get an egg from the nest, which you hatch into the monster you just beat. So this is also sounding familiar and better than Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
I think that they've taken the best from enough games and put them together that it feels like something new. Like, I haven't played a lot of the new Pokemons, but I've watched some, and I don't know. Yeah. This feels really...
Again, me, it's just like making the monsters look so much like real Pokemon. Like you said, it's just that version of Salamence. Like, and then making the shiny icon look so similar to shinies, and it's like, like, why mess with that? You know what I mean? Like, your concept is novel, but like,
Maybe I'm an optimist, but I wasn't like Nintendo's going to take this down. It's like I was like, this is a fucking cool game, and it scratches all those itches of all these.
Your dad's a defense lawyer, not a corporate lawyer. That's why you don't see things this way.
Nintendo famously loves it when people are just like underdogs and they make like a scrappy, cool thing. They love that shit. They don't care about suing companies, Nintendo, or suing people, or shutting down small time streamers for just. You remember how for like you couldn't stream, you couldn't put Nintendo games on YouTube. Until like 2020, if you did like a let's play, like there was just a good chance that you just got DMCA'd forever.
The music too, the OSTs are all taken down. Absolutely. You can't find them on Spotify. You have to find
games,
them
but they're bastards.
Yeah, but this isn't even a Nintendo episode, so we can just leave them out of this. We don't have to promote them one more time. They need our promotion, but
I don't know if I'm promoting Nintendo and saying that they're litigious bastards, but
our people are like, wow, they're very litigious. I should pick up a game.
I don't know what litigious means, but I want to play Pokemon now.
Hey, when you pick up a new Pokemon game, you know that these guys are going to go to bat for that trademark. That is reliable.
You can craft saddles to ride your Pokemon, so you have like a tech tree. The way that it is, like, you level up through crafting and battling and catching. So every action you do will give you experience and all of the Pokemon in your party experience. So they level up alongside you.
What are they actually called? Are they called pals?
Pals. I should say pal. I've been saying Pokemon this whole time because it is really similar. Yeah.
James, they're not even that similar. I see plenty of differences. So you take your Pokemon.
Pretty much. You can find villages with like NPCs and shops and people to talk to. There's gym battles. I beat the first gym already. I think there's two gyms in the early access.
Do they call them gyms?
Are they called gyms? Yeah, I was gonna say.
They're called towers. So the way that you find them is they're towers and they're all lit up, kind of neon and
stuff.
It seems to be five of them in the game. because
I find it completely preposterous that you would compare my client's towers to your so-called gyms? Now I'm just a simple country lawyer, but yeah, my Pokemon, my client's creatures aren't called Pokemon. They're simply pals, of course. Pals like you and me could be, Your Honor.
So
you got that one Pokemon with the big fake hands, like Charlie's uncle.
The lawyer uses the fake hands, so he's easier to animate, right? Is that how?
Yeah.
Mr. Mime has Mickey Mouse hands.
Yep. So there's as far as we know, there's 5 towers. Most people, if you've beaten any, you've only beaten one. And because I went and I looked on the Xbox like achievement scores to see how many of these are actually out yet. And there's achievements for 5 of these battles, but only people have gotten the achievement for 2. And I'm positive that someone would have beaten the other 3 if they're already out. Like at least one sweaty gamer would have gotten to 3, 4, or 5. Because I've seen people, the max level's 50, and I've seen people at level like 40 already. So there's no way there would be 3 unbeat dungeons, 10 away from the cap.
Right.
And I
unless
like,
they're all like end game dungeons, so it's all like level 50.
Even then, some sweaty gamer would have beaten one of those 3 by now, even if it was end game.
How many pals are there? Is that later on in your episode? Do you know?
I think there's at least 100. I think they say
client has 149 original little monsters.
So yeah, lore-wise, things are pretty light. But like I said, I went through the game myself to get my own research. I did my own research, so I have some stuff to talk about. For now, I think we're going to hop into an early break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about Pocket Pair, which is the company who made this, what their history was leading up to this. Spoilers, they've worked very closely with Nintendo since the beginning of their career. And they're Japanese, and they're friends. Who knows? Maybe they talk to Mr. Nintendo, and everything's cool. But
Hello, Mr. Nintendo, did you want to take a look at my Pokemon game?
Pocket Pair sounds like one of those underwears with the pouch for your balls in it that would sponsor a podcast.
Right. Yeah. So after you guys have heard from our sponsors, Pocket Pair, we'll be back with some more lore. So welcome back. Game Informer is an online journalist place. They did an interview with Mizobi, who is the CEO of Pocket Pair. And this article from Game Informer is a lot of where I got the information of the trajectory of the company leading up to Palworld. So starting off with a quote, Palworld is not a fake game, says the CEO.
So I looked them up because you mentioned them. I looked them up on Steam, I should say. Just to see, like, what other games they have.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you all of them, by the way.
Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, like, but, like, Craftopia, which I assume we're going to talk about,
is from four years ago,
but it's still early access, so, like, that doesn't bode well for our totally not a fake game, Palworld.
No. In Craftworld is... Okay, we'll get there. So, Pocket Pair has made more than just Palworld. Palworld. Use Pokemon to figure out a 5-letter word that definitely isn't licensed by Nintendo. So Mizobi and his college friends created a game for Nintendo DS back in 2011 called The Tentai Show, which is the first picture I left there. It's nothing.
I have to go past the muskies.
I know. You guys just won't stop your yapping.
Is this
all you do is you use black and white holes to absorb incoming meteors before they strike Earth and redirect them. So you're just using the dual screen of the Nintendo DS to...
And the touch screen, right?
To catch the meteors on one side and spit them out on the other. So you save Earth.
Yeah, it looks like a fun like Metro game. It looks simple.
Yeah, it was one of their first games. It was released as DSiWare in Japan in 2011.
Is that their eShop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In 2012, Mizobi graduates from university and he spends a few years working normal jobs like JP Morgan Securities before founding Pocket Pair in 2015. So I guess he started his own litigious path with JP Morgan, making sure everything's okay over there.
Yeah. That was the Epstein Bank.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Zobie had his...
What do you mean the Epstein Bank?
Well, a lot of his money went through JP Morgan. The CEO, Jamie Dimon, is on one of those lists, man.
I bet you they all are. Yeah. I bet you all the presidents of all the major banks are. Even Stephen Hawking was.
Jamie Dimon.
Yeah, I know.
Jamie Dimon came after Jamie Silver and Jamie Gold, and then there's Jamie Blue and Jamie Red. One of the most creative things that I've seen this game called is Pokemon Red, White, and Blue. Because
guns. Oh, it comes with guns.
Oh, man.
I like that.
Yeah. So yeah, he works a normal job, and then they release their first title. He starts in 2015, and 4 years later, in 2019, they release Over Dungeon, which is a tower defense in real time, mixed with a card battler. I posed that's the next picture. It's seems really cool. They stole a lot of stuff from like Slay the Spire, Clash Royale.
That's fine, you steal what you want from Slay the Spire.
Yeah, they're not gonna see you. Inspired by
fantastic game, so
yeah.
So then next up is Craftopia, and Ethan pulled this up. I encourage you guys to on your own time check out the the trailer for Craftopia. Is insane. If you guys watch it now, you might not get the full scope of it because you're listening to me and not that, but what it basically does is it starts off and it's like, okay, it looks like a survival game. Wait, no, it's also a farming game. Wait, no, it's a fantasy RPG.
Also Breath of the Wild, yeah.
No, it's also like a crafting game. Wait, it's also a racing game. Wait, it's also and they just put like eight different genres and they threw the spaghetti at the wall. They made it all. And
there's also like a guy throwing a, Pokeball, but not a ball. It's like a rhombus at a giraffe and capturing it. Like so, there is also capturing creatures and breeding them and taming them. The description for that on the Steam page is like breeding, and then it goes into breathing, and then it ends monsters, comma gotta catch them all.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
And this screenshot looks more like Breath of the Wild than modded Breath of the Wild does.
Right? Dude. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Again, to their credit. It looks better than Breath of the Wild, right?
So where they went wrong...
I mean, visually, it's because the Switch is like, you know, it's like hand crank CPU power, right?
Where they went wrong...
Just like a treadmill. It's like,
it's a factory management game. Yeah, industrial too, like Factorio.
Automation. Yeah. So it also has this like treadmill, this spiral treadmill that is delivering cows, fully grown cows, into a large pot of soup.
So the first time I watched this trailer was like on Twitch. There was like a streamer who just goes through bad games and plays them. And we watched this trailer and could not believe how it looked like one game, but became like 14 games by the end of it.
This really feels like they were like, and like this feels like the precursor to Pal World, right?
Which
were absolutely like going through just systems, being like, what kind of game do we want to make? And they made a huge demo and then released it as a $33 game.
That never left early access.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that leads us up to Pal World, Pal World draws from games like Pokemon, Zelda, Ark. I'd say those three are the heaviest, like Pokemon, Zelda, Ark. But even they say Age of Empires, Grand Theft Auto, Elden Ring, Valheim, Fortnite. I can see
I've never played Monster Hunter World, but watching a couple clips of Pal World, I can see the influences. Like seeing like the boss fights and seeing like, oh, you've got like all your monsters out and you like got your gun and you're rolling around like shooting. I'm like, oh, that's kind of Monster Hunter World to me as somebody who's never played it.
Combat feels super crisp. Like you're playing and spoiler, you eventually get ranged weapons. I have a crossbow at this point, which like a boss that we'd see at the end of a dungeon has 2000 health. My crossbow hits for 500, so I just shoot it four times in the head. We're outscaling the dungeons right now. There's ones that are much harder that, like, we've seen level 30 Pokemon that I shoot in the head and it does 4 damage and it had 30,000 health. Yeah. So it's like, I'm not ready for that one yet. But
yeah, sure.
When they shoot at you and stuff, like, it's all about timing your dodges, and you can do like these side flips or back flips or front dashes to like get out of the way of things. So it's kind of Dark Souls-y in that, where you're waiting for a window. But the combat feels super good. The
it's catching... just like their design document is like, you know those word clouds where it's like, yeah, the most, yeah, searched, exactly, yeah. Like the most searched term, yeah, or whatever.
It feels like a lot of cocaine was going around the office whenever they decided to make it. I just have the 2 minute like Steam Craftopia trailer just like up on my screen still from when I look, and it keeps distracting because it's like, it is very much like a Breath of the Wild, and suddenly like he's got a rocket car and you're like, yeah, oh shit, he's doing like a rocket car off a jump. And you're like, oh fuck. And then they're fighting a giant like worm from Tremors or Dune, yeah, or something.
I almost bought it just because it seemed so insane, you know? But yeah, this is actually good.
Absolutely, like all the free assets for like Unreal Editor that they could grab. Like, here's like the water buffalo that somebody made as a free asset, or like an asset that costs like 19 cents to buy or whatever, right? Oh, he's launching a fucking rocket into space. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they reeled it in. So instead of doing like 14 things okay, they did like three things very well.
The exploration, slavery, exploration.
Yeah. The exploration feels awesome. I have to delete the things I had up. I'm gonna pull something from, like, for example, you know, in Breath of the Wild or in Tears of the Kingdom, where you climb up real high and then you can see the green glow of shrines far away, and you kind of mark them on your map and head in that direction. Well, you can do that in this too. The green glows are the things that help your capturing power. The red glows are going to be your fast travel points. You can set up multiple bases, which means you can also have different bases with different fast travel points. Here, this is like a good example of when I was exploring and I just took a picture because I was like, I came over the ridge and I'm like, this is just really cool.
Oh, you're riding a very cute looking like
slug
lizard. Yeah, like a slug, I guess.
Yeah,
it's lizard slug.
He looks like a slug from that angle, but it's really not a slug. It's more of a weasel. You can see his
cloaca from here, I feel like.
I don't think it's a very flattering picture.
Oh, let me, slug monster.
Yeah, here's another.
This is like realistic style and textured terrain and a cartoon monster just sitting on it.
It all feels very cartoony when you're in it.
Really? It's got like a bushy tail and like perky like ears. It looks like a blue fox.
Let me
legs.
You're making me pull. You're making me pull more pictures just so you can see it. It's more of a. It's like an ice. It's an ice
slug, dude. You don't have to prove anything to me.
It's an ice weasel.
You ride a slug all you want, man.
It's an ice weasel.
Oh, very cute. Okay.
You can see. This is me with my friend Scar.
A slug with four slug arms.
it's like a slug wearing a furry mask. it's got like a furry mask on the end of the slug.
It runs on 4 feet. How could it be a slug?
Well, yeah, I can see its feet now. None of the other pictures gave any indication that it had feet, but it's still a very slug like body. Well,
that's me next to my main tank. That's next to my main tank from TBC and Wrath of the Lich King, Scar.
A lot of animals are tubes. Like a weasel is a tube.
We're all tubes. We're all, you put something on the inside of us, your mouth's connected to your butthole. You're just one big donut, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We're all Tauruses deep down. Not the Pokemon.
Tauruses?
The shape. That's the shape of a donut.
Oh.
The geometrical shape is called a Taurus, isn't it?
Right. I call it a circle.
No, it's a 3D circle.
Oh.
It's probably called a Taurus, right? Oh, it's spelled Torus. How fun.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was my cool geometry Pokemon poll, guys. How'd you like that?
Here's your geometry fact for the day.
Yeah. So it's not a slug, and we can move on.
I'm not riding a slug.
It's not that I wouldn't ride a slug, it's just not a slug.
You clearly are offended at the idea that I think you would ride a slug.
That's true. This is the that's true. You got me, man. But this is the weakness chart. Unlike Pokemon, everything is either exactly weak or strong against one thing. Like grass isn't weak to bird, fire, feel or whatever.
Okay. So we have a
this picture is a lawsuit though. Like we're looking at the same photo.
We have like a No, I don't think you could do like elemental typing. Like this is one thing that I'm like, yeah, no, every game does this. Like electricity being good against water. I don't think Nintendo's got the copyright on that.
No, but look at the dragon type icon from Pokemon. Is one of the things I noticed.
Oh, that maybe, yeah. So we have the five.
Let's not build a case for Nintendo, guys. Let's just enjoy Power World, I think.
we have a five-sided flat torus, right? Also called a pentagon.
Yes.
And that goes around with like electricity beating water, which beats fire, which beats grass, which beats ground, which beats electricity, right?
Which beats water, which beats fire.
Beats two, which is it beats grass and ice. So
that's branches, the only one that beats two.
It branches at fire, and then ice, dragon, and dark are all good against, like, that's the order that it goes in, and then it goes to neutral, which is, like,
which is strong typing, against nothing, yeah.
And which is strong against nothing. So it's just, like, it ends there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, yeah. Okay, yeah. That makes
this isn't super explained to you. You kind of just figure it out. It is in your survival guide, but I found it in a YouTube video. Like, I didn't find it on my own accord.
No bugs, no Jahost types.
Not yet.
Yeah. Are there dual types? Are you riding an ice slug mount?
It's not a slug, man. It's there are dual types. I've seen like water ice. I've seen grass ground, and you can for sure teach your Pokemon
grass ground, like Torterra, bro.
There's you can find TM trees. They're not called TM trees. We don't say Nintendo's gonna sue them, but there's abilities in trees that you can pick that says that's like Thundershock, but not Thundershock.
You're doing an apple orchard movement right now on camera. Do you have to harvest skills from trees in game, or
that are
you
literally fruits? Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were going insane.
I'm having a hard time explaining this, guys. And I I'm stuck on the slug thing. Could you guys say it's not a slug?
It's a slug. And I need you to be okay with it. Okay, I need you to get okay and move on because
it's a beautiful slug. Animal, regardless.
Is majestic. Okay, your slug is majestic. It's a slug with a furry hat. It's blue. It's cool.
It's
whatever.
a Chillat, and it's a frost weasel, and it was the first boss, and I caught it all by myself.
Okay.
Now you ride it like a fucking slug. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But I mean, you say something like skill tree, and you understand why Peter and I didn't instantly think, oh, an actual physical tree.
Yeah.
Because every video game has a skill tree, and it's not an actual physical tree.
I was so tied up on trying to make it not sound like Pokemon that I didn't even think about what skill tree would sound like, other than imagining. But
you did a reach and twist, like as a reflex. So I was like, okay, hang on a second here.
Actual skill trees. Yeah, you find, like, I found like an ice scythe move that shoots an AoE super far. Cool. The Pokemon feel very strong too. Like, I caught something called a Nightwing, which is just like this big flying Pokemon that does like a big gust move. But some of the enemies you fight have such big bodies that as a tornado goes through, it ticks like four times. Okay. Hitting.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So fire apparently is very strong right now, too. Like the burning effect, unless you're up against
it's
water.
It's the only one with two strengths, too. Like it's the only one that's super effective against ice and grass, right? Is there not very effective? Like is grass less effective against fire as well?
The
like if you go
end of all those arrows,
so fire also has two defense typings then, right? Two not very effectives, ice and grass, would be so fire from this diagram that you provided.
Very strong.
Check out the patreon.com/loreboys loreboys. One of those two. The lore boys. Just if you want to see the episode pictures after this episode.
Yep. So that's what it looks like. That's kind of how it fights. But you really, like, if you don't have to think about this too much. I've sent a fire against a water Pokemon. It can still beat it. Like, you're also a human with a gun next to your Pokemon. Your Pokemon's going to do more damage. If you're leveling up,
this
by the way,
in a lot of ways more ethical than Pokemon, where you just send them to fight on your behalf. Now you're getting down and dirty with them.
Yeah.
Not afraid to get your hands wet.
Ash didn't have his fingerprints on anything.
Yeah.
Ash didn't fire a single fucking round in that show.
I have. Well, he did have a gun that got removed in the. He didn't have a gun.
Safari
guy.
The Safari Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Ranger had a gun and pointed it at his head. A child. Right.
Okay, let me hop into some journal stuff then. These are kind of a little bit long, but I'll spit out the important facts as we need, and we can talk about
bit
it right after.
Bit yeah. Your slug facts, slug boy.
So there's something called the Castaways. I've been on a slug one, man. Castaways Journal. So these are like the blue thing. The green things you find are catching Pokemon upgrades. The red things you find are fast travel. The blue things you find are lore books. Okay. And the lore books are left behind from a castaway who is there sometime before you were there. We don't know how long. Okay. It might be that I get to Gym 5 and he's like, I was the castaway all along, and I'm your father, and I'm Giovanni.
Pulls off his mask.
Yeah.
So two big slug eyes.
So here's the castaway. I discovered what appears to be an ancient ruin while exploring the island. Did humans once live here? Finding some kind of mural on the walls, I deciphered the symbols and found there's none other than instructions on how to make that strange sphere from before. Using Paldium, it's an ore that you can find in game, the name I have given to the blue ore found around the island, as a catalyst, it was possible to transform mere wood and stone into one of these spheres. I must record this method of production. There happened to be a weakened pal near me, and it was unable to move. Rolling a sphere towards it, I was able to capture another pal. So this is the
invention
canonical...
of the
the Pokeball. This is Castaway found it. It was old technology because it was on a mural on a wall from an ancient technology. So,
okay, we got ancient aliens,
magic rocks, ancient aliens. Probably long time because there's ruins by the time the castaway gets there. So it's probably ancient civilization, 1,000 years or something. Castaway, and then X amount of years before you arrive as the player. Okay. But you're probably arriving much closer to the castaway than you are the castaway to the ancient ruins.
Yeah, it's like the Great Pyramids of Giza made closer to the or Ket. Who was the Egyptian pharaoh? Pharaohess. What was her name?
Cleopatra.
Cleopatra. I want to say Cassiopeia.
I think it's still Pharaoh.
Yeah, it is. Cleopatra was born closer to the creation of the first Pizza Hut than she was to the creation of the Great Pyramids.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one for pals is we're closer to T-Rex than T-Rex is to Stegosaurus.
Cool. So this is an example of like an ancient church that I found. It was kind of Elden Ring-esque, like where you would find some of the grace sites. You can see the green thing behind the statue there. That's one of the Pokemon catching upgrade materials that you need. So you have the one that I said you need 1, 3, 7, 11, mm-hmm. so on for.
Right, yeah, the green upgrade behind the Lucario statue.
And the Lucario statue, TMTM, is where you actually spend those green things. So you have to build one in your base, but you can also find them in like churches around and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. You can also spend souls to upgrade your Pokemon to or your pals. So you find like pal souls is just a currency that you get, like you'll find on the ground or you get from killing pals, and you can use it to upgrade like health, attack, movement speed, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. They're EVs.
Yeah. So that's what that looks like. That's the ancient ruins. There's some like really blocky ancient ruins too. You could find on top of mountains and stuff. I haven't gotten to explore those much yet because they're the higher level areas and I'm still getting to know the game a bit.
Still a wee baby riding around on a slug. It's hard to get around on that thing.
You don't need training wheels because you can't tip it over. It sticks to the ground, right?
Yeah.
It's very safe.
Perfect for someone like you.
I wear gear with leather that was probably had salt that touched it at some point, and the slug would melt away, literally melt. I couldn't. Like, physically, if I wanted to, I wouldn't.
Couldn't even. You're like gunning the slug engine. There's just like foam pouring out of its mouth.
So day 12, Castaway's Journey. As I approached the tower for the second time, I once again heard the sound of gunfire. It seems that there are groups that have banded together and are now fighting for territory. I believe they're mostly using pals to fight this battle. This place isn't safe. I need to be stealthy if I wander around here. So there are humans on the island when we get there.
Did you say the island's name? Do we know?
Is this Lost?
It's named
Lost take place on... Is the smoke monster a pal?
Yes.
Yeah, and then everyone the person goes, I think we're pal world, and then looks at the camera and everything shakes and goes crazy or something. Instead of saying I think we're lost.
Did that happen in that show?
I was watching it on TV.
I recently listened to someone who was talking about it, and apparently they say lost and look at the camera directly.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
I did that in my Curse of Strahd game, but that was just me and my friend, where I said, this is some sort of curse.
Strahd. So it's not super easy to see this because I grabbed this screenshot like in the thick of battle, but this is an example of there are people who believe pals should not be used as slaves or eaten or caught. And that is one
vegan.
That is one group. We got the hippies who I shoot in the head with crossbows off from the back of my pals.
crossbow bolts are vegan though.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they're dipped in pig's blood, so they're so the vegans don't get to go to heaven.
Yeah, then they get the pigs. They get swine flu.
I like the idea of like vegan jihadis who are just like
so they can like storm your base at any time. That's a raid. That can happen with like Pokemon coming in. That can happen with the hippies coming in who are trying to save the Pokemon, or they can also come with the syndicates, who are the bad guys. That's the Team Rocket. I don't know a ton about them yet, but I do know they are doing weird things to keep the gym leader in her gym or in her tower, which I have an entry from her in a few minutes.
Okay.
But
do they have a garrulous cat? Do they like to dress in drag?
Lorewood's canon, they do.
Okay, good. We're setting the lore here.
This is an example of our base, one of our bases. You can see there's ore around. I'm sitting on my mount and there's just Pokemon milling. It's not slug. They're milling around, just doing their thing. And then this is an excellent upgrade that when I logged in this morning, Scar's like, oh, I got a post that you can stand in and it opens a menu and you can make them work double or triple as hard.
Oh, you have the Panopticon Watchtower.
Yeah.
And they like they're not happy about being overworked and stuff. Like you have to build them a hot tub so they take breaks and they aren't happy. But like there's real issues that come up whenever they're unhappy. I'll post one here. Developing an eating order due to stress. And this guy's overfold.
Disorder. The opposite of an order.
All right, eating disorder. Sorry. I always forget it's disorder, I think.
Yeah. Disorder.
Yeah. I like the fourth one because I feel like I can relate to it.
Upset. I went to bed. Yeah. We talked about it on the bonus episode, the 100th bonus episode that we put out today.
Yeah.
I love recognizing the fan art fucking inspiration for all your pals here that you have on the farm here. Like
Scar was doing the same
Lilligant
thing.
And Mantine and Entei are all just chilling.
The last one's that
big titty lizard though. What the fuck is that?
I had to post her because she's zesty, but
I saw the big titty lizard in the first picture you posted of your base. I see her like working on a bush back there. My eyes clocked her instantly.
Of course. Yeah.
The in the list of five that we have, the fifth one is that like luchador tiger too, right? Like I don't remember what he's called, but he's in Smash.
I mean, like if you guys come at this game and being like, I want to find all the similarities to other games, you could probably find in every.
You call it Pokemon.
Pokemon. So you can find you can find it.
Slugma.
Yeah. Okay.
Mad Cargo would be more
comfortable. Why am I here? I should have just stayed playing the game. The Rebel Pal world is not with your friends, apparently.
Fun. We talked about it in the bonus, but some people enjoy things differently, man.
Well, I'm not enjoying it.
We're sorry.
No, I don't care. Somehow you not enjoying it is making it more fun for me.
I know. I'm playing the room a bit. Here we go. This is my weed monkey.
He does have a big weed leaf on his head.
Yeah. And,
oh wait, should I not point out any similarities?
You can do what you like. I'm just saying, it's low hanging fruit from the skill tree.
He's a little green Chimchar with a weed leaf on his head.
He is,
You can see on the right hand side, it's kind of small, but it shows like his skills. Like he's good at like planting,
work speed. Oh, and then he's got work suitability underneath.
Yeah. So you want to have like a good mix of people who are doing planting versus mining versus logging versus helping you build stuff versus like there's just water Pokemon who'll spray the rocks with water before you throw them in the crusher. So they're nice and clean rocks. I don't know.
It's less dust.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. So someone has run a Pokemon farm.
I got a couple of names.
And yeah, Tansy, you can see also there's a random skill at the bottom there where he has plus 20% to movement speed. These are really cool, these passive skills. You can get negative ones, you can get positive ones.
It's palsive. But
yeah, palsative. And it starts to get really useful. So you can get things that are like increase your mining efficiency by 30%. So let's say you're going on a mining expedition, you can fill your party with like plus mining and then just go and knock all these ores out like really, really fast.
Jamie gathers all his miners to himself.
Yeah, exactly. You can get double miners in this game, which you can't get in real life.
Oh, yeah. It's so much easier when you've just got like an island in your.
Yeah, come on, pals. We're going to my friend Jeffrey's place.
Yeah. An example of what the dungeon boss fights look like. You can see a giant burning lamprey mixed with a sheep Pokemon.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
weird mid ground.
Yeah, so he's burning. Because my I was like trying to grab a screenshot, but the person I was playing with just lit him on fire right away. So he's running away. But
this is the first time we see your character for the front, and you're pretty stacked, dude.
Oh yeah. So what I do is I put my arms max size, torso max size. Legs small as possible, anime girl head.
Looking and, good.
Yeah,
do not get me wrong.
Thanks.
Get your number after this.
There's a picture in Community.
I got a slug
gaming.
To show you.
There's a picture in Community and Gaming, which I'll bring over to this chat, which really shows
Discord.com/loreboys.
Me and my friend playing together our full body types. So we both went anime girl heads, but I went male body and he went female body.
Oh, he's not that big dude with the terrifying mask? Oh, that's the Black Marketeer, of course.
I have a very good picture with the Black Marketeer.
The picture that you sent of you at night, because you're wearing like a dark brown muscle shirt or like tank top, and then you have like a white scarf over top. And so you can only really see the white scarf. So I thought you were stacked, but you are literally the shape of a barrel. Like you're not tested. You're just literally the shape of a barrel.
When you put the like clothes on Scar's character, it's like, oh, I look cute on the little girl. And then mine, all the clothes look fucked up and my arms are clipping through my torso because I just took it to the extreme. Okay. So speaking of that Black Marketeer, let me pull up a So we first get to the Black Marketeer. We're like, oh, okay, this is weird. Like, let's see what this is. And you can buy a couple Pokemon. Then it's like, wait, sell contraband? And we found out that the humans that we have caught, we are able to sell humans. So you can human traffic. We found where the Black Marketeer lives because he was just on a patrol there. And we went into the Black Marketeer's house. And inside is just guillotines and nooses.
He's got like a gallows. Yeah.
So you go into this dark cave and you sell people to this guy who just has like a murder factory behind him.
Yeah, I need more bodies for the murder factory.
Yeah. I need a too high up chalkboard for one of my clients who's coming in here to watch some little people do math.
So Scar is so excited because he had saved like 8 humans and he's like, oh, we found the seller finally because we couldn't find him after the patrol.
Yeah.
And then he goes to sell and we look around the room. It's like, wait, dude, is that nooses? Is that like 6 guillotines with buckets like ready for the heads? Like, so yeah, a little bit darker than
he pre-buckets his guillotines. He's like so ready.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the buckets are there for the heads already. Like
you need a basket. What are you gonna do? Just let the head? That's like disrespectful, honestly.
Yeah.
Even Marie Antoinette got a bucket. Okay.
Another one of the scariest moments I had is there's a dark cave, and I didn't have a Pokemon that had a fire ability, so I had to walk through this dark cave, and it was dark to a fault. Like I couldn't find my way back out at the end. Scar
what
had
they
to
call
come
flash in this game.
That yeah, I don't know. What would you call it? I don't know, sparkle or something. But anyways, they I got lost in this cave, and Scar had to like build a structure because we only had torches that attacked to walls. So we had to build like floor wall torch, floor wall torch. Like, just
Can't carry a torch that connects to the wall. It's impossible.
You can handle them. You can craft a torch, but we didn't have like the walking torch mats for some reason. That's how it ended up. Yeah. Anyways, he went all the way in to get me out, and I was stuck next to this thing. And I'm level like 15 or something, and there's just a giant dragon, called Dawn Cherry, Braun Cherry.
Yeah, Braun Cherry Aqua.
Got a Gears sports jacket on.
Yeah. So I asked Scar, I was like, do you know who Dawn Cherry is? And he didn't. There's a sportscaster who wears crazy suits for hockey, who's since been canceled, but he was very popular in Canada, Dawn Cherry. And it's funny that the Japanese company got Braun Cherry, or whoever did their localization.
He was a Bruins coach too, I think.
Okay, cool.
Could have been.
Cool. Jumping back to the lore a little bit, I found one much later on. So there's we had day 3, which we started with, and there's day 12. Then I found day 18, and he's like, I decided to distance myself from the tower, begun to explore other areas. There are places that in each area that appear to be vast caverns. They have traces of human involvement, and ore can be found throughout them. Does someone have used pals to dig these holes? I can't help but feel overwhelmed by all the mysteries I'm unable to solve, but my pals have come with me no matter where I go. As long as I have food to give them, that is. So, dungeons, canonically, built by pals from ancient humans.
Okay. Cool.
Is what we're saying.
Also, my lore boy's canon is that this man is going to be eaten by his pals, right?
So, actually,
he just said, like, as long as I feed them, they seem happy.
It's a daughter party situation.
Yeah.
I actually found the last entry. Like, I have a bunch missing in the middle there.
Yeah. And it's so just, oh my god, they're eating me! They're fucking eating me!
It's just a recording from Grizzly Man of Timothy Treadwell being ripped apart by pals.
Yeah. It's having now journeyed far. This is day 38. Having now journeyed far from where I drifted ashore, I've come across a massive statue in the shape of a pal. I found this just beneath a giant statue of a dragon that I found at the top of a mountain. Okay. I'm nearly certain it's a legacy of an ancient civilization, but why would humans build a statue such as this? Everything I've found thus far has suggested that pals lived alongside these ancients as equals. But constructing a monument like this must mean there were also objects of worship. Perhaps there are certain pals out there that have special significance to both people and pals. So I think this is hinting at
legendaries and shit like that, right?
Yeah. And like there's altered versions, like that Braun Cherry Aqua that you see, who's like a level 30. There's a lot of Braun Cherries out there, but that's the only Braun Cherry Aqua I've seen. So I think there's variants as well that are like stand above. Also, when you catch those big ones, they tend to have better traits. Like I was saying, like you get 20% movement speed. Like, you can get one with, like, 4 legendary traits on it. It's, like, 20% movement speed, 10% attack, 10% defense, 10% resistance to dark, or something like that.
Cool. Sure,
So you can,
it's
like...
It's just like any other video game where you catch pocket monsters, and, like, you want to go for the right nature and, you know, the right starting EVs, IVs, whichever it is.
Yeah, both. Let me grab one more picture for you guys here of the first...
You guys are getting quite the family album. In the Patreon chats.
Patrons, patrons in the Discord are going to feast on these pictures if we remember to post them, like we haven't done the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You'll get them eventually.
They're posted. You will get them eventually.
This is not one I took, but just so you know, this is the first boss. It's like an Electabuzz Pikachu.
It's clearly a Grizzbolt. Okay. It's completely different.
I mean, it really looks like something from some other Japanese game.
It looks like Totoro. The big thing.
It does look like Totoro, too, but it looks a lot like Totoro.
So that's the first
video game that has a creature with that exact head.
It looks like something I've seen, too.
But Totoro's good.
Is Totoro the thing? If that's his name?
Totoro,
I haven't seen the movie. Okay.
My Neighbor Totoro.
So we fight Zoe. We go up and we find this big tower. The first time you see it, you like come through this ridge and there's this giant tower on like across this area, and it looks super cool. And you're automatically interested in going that direction. Once you get there, there's a couple syndicates outside that you kill, the humans, or you can capture them if you're masochistic or whatever.
If you sell people for profit, you could do that.
Yeah. So you fight this. It's not that hard of a fight. I think we were a bit over-leveled because we were just focusing on base building and stuff. So by the time our base was like, your base only needs to be around level 7 recommended to go here. And our base was like level 10 by the time we went here.
Okay.
So we're a little over-leveled. We completely smashed it. But you get a diary entry from her when you kill her. And by the way, all these diary entries and journals that I'm reading, no one's taken the time to like transcribe them onto the internet yet. So like, I can't just Google like journal entries for Ethan. Please find him. I dare you. I see you doing it.
Justify you're playing a video game to me and Peter. Okay, you're good, man.
I tried. No, I tried. I tried. I couldn't find it. These are all like from screenshots I took in game. So yeah.
You go to the Grizzbolt. We're at a point in the lore development where you go to the Grizzbolt fandom page, and it's like appearance TBD, pal deck entry under investigation, behavior TBD.
Yeah.
Utility. Grizzbolt is able to build, craft, and power generators.
The people who care.
That's pretty good.
That's it. Yeah, that's
the people who care about the game right now are playing the game and not figuring out the wiki. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some of them are recording podcasts about the game.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing my work at least for the lore world. So Zoe Rain, her diary, once you beat her, you got a pretty revealing diary that puts kind of, this game is kind of sinister, but it puts a sinister twist on the gym leader. The gym leader usually you think wants to be there, but she says, "I don't have a family. My father disappeared a long time ago, and I've never seen my mother's face. The ones who raised me are these guys and Grizzbolt. That's why I have no choice but to survive in this tiny little world. These guys chase around pals with their guns. They capture the ones they hurt and sell them to these other weird guys. In return, they get food. They even share it with me. That's why I don't have to be hungry. I don't think those guys really care about me. They just keep me alive because I'm the daughter of one of their bosses. I still believe that, even if I'm a boss now, too." So I guess her dad is one of the bigger bosses.
One of the later boss leaders.
Giovanni.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that reveals to us that the Syndicate are also traffickers of pals. They're selling pals for money. So you can feel less bad about capturing the Syndicates because they're just getting theirs when you sell them. But,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. But that is really interesting lore to me. Something else that I wanted to show you. Remember my little weed monkey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could I forget?
So on the tech tree, there's 50 levels to the tech tree. There's 50 player levels. As you level up, you get access to the next tier, which usually have 5 or 6 different craftable things.
Okay.
And you get technology points by finding just doing things in the game. You get books that give you tech points. You get fast travel when you find them that gives you tech points. When you beat bosses, it gives you ancient technology tech points, which allows you to spend. So you level up to unlock the options, and then you spend with the currency that you earn through playing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that I got was an assault rifle for my weed monkey.
Hell yeah, dude.
I love this regular looking gun sitting right on the table here.
Tansy's assault rifle.
Tansy's assault rifle, yeah.
Yeah, so I gave it to Tansy, and he's so little that he can't completely control the spray. So he shoots and he hits the people in front, and it goes all the way up.
That's fucking great.
It takes to like level 21 until you can actually have a gun for the Pokemon with Guns game. I think you get a musket at level 21. I'm level 17 or 18 now after 2 days of playing.
So do you fight at all, or do you just send your Pokemon in right now?
Do you
go in with a broom and
I ride on the back.
Get back!
I ride on the back of my not slug, and I just one shot things in the head with my crossbow. You're strong, but okay. Your Pokemon are stronger. Like whenever I'm fighting above my level, my Pokemon do more damage than I do.
Yeah.
To be fair, in a different proxy fighter like Pokemon, if you just got Lieutenant Surge's Raichu in the head, that would also do great damage. So this is...
That's not the guy I would choose to get into a gunfight, man. He's the only guy who's got a military title.
Oh, yeah, he went to Vietnam. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Cool under pressure.
He'd like shoot you in the back while you're trying to find the switch at the bottom of his trash bin or something.
He didn't go to Vietnam. He went to Palapagos? Is that what it's called?
Oh, the Palapagos Islands. Yeah.
Palapagos Islands.
There's some type of weird Pokemon lore that says there was like a great Pokemon war where people fought Pokemon against each other and Lieutenant Surge was a part of it. It's
definitely
a
war that Lieutenant Surge was a part of.
Yeah. I think it was like in Vietnam, but like Black and White very much has like a Pokemon versus human apocalypse.
Okay.
And there's like the weird flower fairy type that It's canon there.
Yeah. I'm looking through my pictures to see if I have any other fun stories to share with you, but all of this game, like the base building and stuff, since you're getting XP for you and your team the whole time, everything you do feels like progression. Getting to that next level of technology is fun because you're like, oh, cool, new weapon, new gun. You start off with like a wooden club, then a baseball bat, then a bow, then a fire bow, then a frost bow, then
like,
a crossbow.
I got the Steam video up again, and he's got like a Sam anti-artillery cannon mounted on his like chocobo Pokemon that he's using to fire yeah. another Pokemon down on the beach.
So like later on, like you straight up get like rocket launchers and like assault rifles and like Uzis and like things get crazy later on.
Sounds good. Yeah. I added it to my wish list. It looks like good, silly fun. I would be down to do it sometimes. I won't get it right now, probably.
No.
I would love to see it go through more development. You know, if it ever actually fully released, definitely buy it, I think. But
as of now, it is a surprisingly full, finished feeling game. Like Craftopia never felt finished. This already has such a strong foundation. And I think you're right. If you want to wait for that, for the more development, wait till all five like tower leaders are out at least. So
Exactly. Like I would hate to, because if I give this a run, I'm gonna give it one run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna give it a go through, and then I'm probably just gonna put it down forever. But I'm fine with that as long as I don't get to a point where I'm like, oh well, that's just it. There's no resolution.
There's just so many things that are, like you end up laughing out loud about thought you'd experience. Like, so you can't see it now.
That's like a selling point.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to put like beds for each of your working Pokemon. And at one point, Scar captured like a guard and he put him on duty. And like just during the day, he walks around with his gun. It's a human. But at night, we saw he went just to go sleep with all like the sheep and pigs in the Pokemon beds.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't have a good picture of him sleeping, but you can see the idea of the setup there.
Yeah, right now you have like sandboxes full of straw set up for your slaves to sleep on. They're very generous.
Oh my god, man. I've been having so much fun, and the exploration feels so good. And like just running into a new Pokemon and catching it, or like coming over that ridge and there's a completely new biome. And like I ran into these guys who had flamethrowers, and it's like the something brothers, and I got killed to death by two guys with flamethrowers.
I like the little like hints in the documents that you found so far as well, of like what is the castaway, like who's he gonna be, like are you just gonna find his bones in like some kind of like not quite Mayan ruin on like a throne or
not on bones.
And well, slugs don't have bones, but like the shell just sitting there, right?
There's going to be some interplay between like the free the pets and the sell the pets groups. I'm sure I've run into both of those factions just fighting each other in the wild, like with no prompt from me. There's just like Pokemon activists or PAL activists and syndicates just shooting at each other. And
well,
I went
who are you
in
gonna side with which ending do you want? Do you want the Epstein ending or the vegan ending?
So this is the thing. I don't know. I think if I act like an Epstein the whole way, I shouldn't pretend to be a vegan in the end. Like these guys are working on my island already. You know what I mean? Like,
I do love the comparison of Epstein and vegans. Cause like there's some legitimately brain rotted people on the internet who are going to be like, yeah, vegans are just as bad as Jeffrey Epstein and his friends.
So anyways, this is what it looks like we have. There's really cool boss fights. The multiplayer is really fun. You can just hop into a single player world too, like if you just want to play your own game and
on a pal around.
Anytime the baby's crying, you can just like press exit and not have to worry about it, so that could be a fun way for you to enjoy it as well. But anyways, the game's super strong, supposed to be a meme, actually came out and was like, whoa, this is actually really fucking good. I can't wait to finish this so I can just go back and play some more. It's been great. Play Pal World if you can. It's on Game Pass, or maybe wait like Ethan will, until the game's complete, then we can do a big lore boys run or something.
God willing, there's gonna be a Pal World 1.0, right?
Think if any of them will, this is so popular that they made so much money in the first weekend that
Over Dungeon was a full release. And they made another game, Art Imposter, which says early access. So their last three games have been early access. But yeah. Overdungeon is a full release.
So. This feels like they took like three things they learned from Craftopia and just did them very strongly and made a compelling world. Everything feels really good.
It seems straight up like they probably got feedback on Craftopia from like the player base that was like, these are the fun parts of it. Yeah. Could you please like make these better? And they said, we're just gonna start from scratch rather than trying and fixing Craftopia with all these other crazy broken systems in it, which I think it probably was the right call. I would be pretty miffed if I was a purchaser of Craftopia, right? Like, what the fuck do you mean you're releasing another $40 game that I have to buy that's the same thing with just like core focus on the mechanics that I like and have been telling you that I like?
I feel like if you ever watched the trailer for Craftopia and thought, this is good, then you deserved Craftopia.
It's very like Garry's Mod esque in a way, right? Where like it feels like it's not like Garry's Mod in that like you can't create games in it, but it does feel like something somebody would have created in Garry's Mod from all these like random assets that they
mashed together.
Like you said, like the factory builder of the cows going the conveyor belt down into the bowl of soup or whatever. Yeah. Like it's chaos from the rip, and you just got to go and expect it.
The enemies are straight up like Boke Goblins from Breath of the Wild. Like just
they're blue,
straight up the exact same things.
Well, anyways, this has been the episode. It's been a lot of fun. I hope you guys are enjoying it too. I decided I was going to write this like today because I'm having so much fun. Maybe we'll catch a little bit of SEO with this game being popular. Who knows?
But it's a loose episode too. It's just like, hey, like let's get on the ground floor and speculate a little bit, and also make fun of your slug.
For all the new listeners, for all the new listeners who have been enjoying talking about Jamie's slug. Thanks for listening. This is a loose episode for us, but this is generally the format of the show and the way that it goes. I'm glad this is one of the rare episodes that I decided to have a couple beers on. It's for it, I think.
There's not much out there, but I think we did a strong job of getting at least with the forces within the game, how the game works, and as much words are good.
Somebody go out there and write a wiki and we'll do another episode on it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Or give me another week to find all the rest of the lore books. Who knows?
Yeah. Part two. So this episode's like super loose. Part two is going to be 4.5 hours long. Okay, guys, I got really into it.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you enjoyed the show, consider leaving us a review on your podcast app of choice. Really helps the show to grow. Jamie, you want to talk about the Discord?
Discord.gg/loreboys. Get it in there. Thank you for the boost, everyone who's been boosting. We've been chatting. We've been talking about Pal World and talking about Red Dead Redemption. That's what I've been talking about. Everybody else been talking about what they like, too. Pete's been posting pictures of toys. We've been Sporshy's talking about Yu-Gi-Oh. I took a gummy. I went to the grocery store. I was like, I need to make some food. I made some mashed potatoes with some dino nuggies and some green broccoli for trees, and I posted it with my gravy volcano.
I thought that was a shit post. That is hilarious.
I made that, dude. It was good as hell. You don't like mashed potatoes?
I love mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes was not what I took umbrage with. It was the dino nuggies that I was like, oh, this is from the internet.
They're actually vaguely not dinosaurs. They were sort of animals. I think one was meant to be
they're
a giraffe.
they're legally distinct. Legally distinct from dinosaurs.
They're not dinos. They're St. Hubert pals, which have nothing to do with dino nuggies.
This is John Jurassic Park. Don't sue us. They're not dinosaurs.
Yeah. That was a very good plate of food, actually. I would eat it again.
It's very cute. I didn't see this, and I'm glad that you didn't let your dreams be dreams.
No, man. That was the day where I took the gummy, and I was like, let's see if I can edit the podcast and get to the grocery store before this hits me. I got to the grocery store, and wearing my wireless headset that's connected to my PC at home, and I'm like in the aisle. It goes beep, beep, beep. I was like, oh, shit. I'm wearing my headset still. I'm like, I guess I didn't beat the clock, so I came home and had some potatoes and dino nuggets.
I mean, it's the perfect way of getting people to not interact with you is to wear headphones, right?
Absolutely. But so if you want to be involved in those types of stories of our lives, then the Discord's the best place for that.
So. Yeah, or maybe the bonus content, because we also do a lot of talking in there. Peter, before we talk about that, do you want to talk about Instagram at all?
At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram, give us a follow, give us a like, say hello, respond to our stories. I'm trying some new stuff. feedback is appreciated, where instead of doing the zoom in on the artwork before it comes out to guess what the episode is about, I've been dropping the episode title, which again is another little push towards the Patreon, because of course we have a guessing game created by the community where we write in all of the silly titles we thought about, and then they have to guess what the episode is going to be about based on the complete and utter lack of context that we have provided them, basically.
Yeah.
So
we essentially say to you, gunning the slug engine, and you have to spit out Power World.
Yeah. And I know I'm going to juke at least one person, because I posted a picture of my cat, which accidentally had episode research on my monitor behind it. And someone caught on, I think it was Magnus, was like, wait, that's Broly from Dragon Ball Z. And I was going to do a Dragon Ball episode, but
get fucked, idiots.
I mean,
that's like 9/11 truth or shit right there in the loser titles, where they're like looking in the background of photos we take.
Yeah. Well, okay. Wait. I'm gonna defend Magnus and the other people, the other good people on our Discord. That Magnus said, "Are you watching Dragon Ball Z?" And Jamie said something like that, catching some lore over lunch, and then panicked that people were gonna guess the after he said, "Catching lore."
I was caught.
I was caught with my slug out.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you want to support the show, we do have Patreon, patreon.com/thelore boys. We got bonus content. We got those the games that Jamie was talking about. We'll post the episode picks when friend of the show and moderator David reminds me to.
I'll do it because it's my week.
thank you. You're a real pal. Look at this ball, would you?
Of course, I'm gonna sell you on an island.
Yeah. Anyone who doesn't support Patreon, of course, we do have Lore Boys Prime. We thanks for bringing it up, Peter. We are starting an island. It is pretty exciting, and we need some volunteers. Come work on the island. All volunteers will be provided a sandbox full of straw to sleep on, and a gun to
it's
work
called
with.
The Storyfellas Island. Nothing to do with Lore Boys.
No,
Storyfellas, and we'll all get together and tell the story for about an hour. Ring it in with some jokes, but has nothing to do with
jokes is generous. Well, more drunken ramblings than anything from myself, at least, but I do hope you like them.
I was so into the pal episode that I've taken one sip from my giant Bud Light.
Oh my god, yeah.
Oh man,
oh wow. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
I think that will cost you Lore Boys.
Lore
get
boys
out of here. Out. Lore Boys, get pal out.
Well, look at that picture.